For Native Americans, the holiday is not a cause for celebration as much as a reminder of continued political struggle in the United States. And that was a theme that came up during the presidential campaign this year.
So let me be clear. I believe treaty commitments are paramount law. I'll fulfill those commitments as President of the United States. That means providing quality, affordable health care and a world-class education on reservations all across America. That will be a priority when I'm President of the United States of America.
That was then-candidate Barack Obama speaking in May when he was adopted into a Montana Crow tribe on a campaign stop. He was given the tribal name, One Who Helps People Throughout the Land. So for another chapter in America's briefing book, we are turning to Indian Affairs and to Ben Nighthorse Campbell, former senator from Colorado, the first Native American chairman of the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs. He's one of the 44 chiefs of the Northern Cheyenne tribe, and he joins us from his home in Denver. Senator, thanks so much for being with us.
I'm glad to be with you, John.
And do you think that Barack Obama can make good on that name, One Who Helps People Throughout the Land, during his first term?
Well, I hope so. I think probably 75% of Indian voters voted for Obama, and it was really based on the promises he made. But I'm reminded of Tin Bear's famous saying 160 years ago. They made him many promises, more than I can remember, and they broke all but one. They promised to take our land, and they took it. So that comes to my mind very often when I hear promises made by Washington, D.C.
Well, what would be a signal that perhaps things are turning in a different direction in the early going? I mean, there's an appointment that would be significant, and then there are, of course, land issues.
Yeah, but I think the single most important thing right on the table has been the last couple of years, the reauthorization of the Indian Health Care Improvement Act. It's overdue something like 14 years now. It has not been reauthorized, which basically puts Indian people in the position of getting health care that was 14 years old. All the new technology they can't avail themselves to because the bill hasn't been reauthorized. I tried to get it reauthorized, and I couldn't get any help from the Bush administration. Senator Dorgan, who is now the chairman, he's trying to get it reauthorized, and it did pass the Senate, but it's now hung up in the House. So that's a very, very big one that I would hope President Obama would push for.
So the issue is dual. It's financing. There's a money question there, but then there's also an upgrading of the categories of service that are covered under the Act. They're all obsolete at this point.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And it's unfortunate that it really got tied up because of an amendment that had nothing to do with Indian health care but dealt with abortion that was added to the amendment bill. And the pro-choice and the pro-life people on the House side have gotten in a big fight about it, and they've held up the whole bill. Meanwhile, Indian people continue to suffer from inadequate health care.
The other big issue that's on the table perennially for Native Americans and the Bureau of Indian Affairs is the 66 million acres of land that the federal government manages with the tribes. Mm-hmm. What's the state of that right now?
The federal government has done a terrible job of managing those lands, and that's what the Cobell litigation is all about. It's mismanaged trust fund money. And there's a big difference between what the government thinks they owe tribes and what tribal people believe is owed to them. And they may never get an actual resolution because many of the documents are lost. They estimate over 100,000 documents are missing. So it's in the courts now, and the courts so far have held that the federal government is obligated to pay. It's just working to the final solution. But I think more and more tribes are looking to the Obama administration to support them in taking over their own management of trust funds, so they can't be literally cheated out of millions and millions, if not billions of dollars of royalties of coal and gas and timber and other resources that come from tribal lands.
Theoretically, though, Senator, couldn't the Obama administration just basically, because of the court decision, just vaunt this to the top and end the conflict right now?
They could, but whatever the decision they make, the money still has to be appropriated. Courts have held in favor of the tribes, and most of the process has been working through the courts. And even if the Obama administration says, let's stop the fooling around and end this, the tribes are right, let's reach a settlement for them, you got to get the money appropriated out of Congress. And unfortunately, when you have a huge deficit, as Congress does now, and many, many players at the table, whether it's highways or states or hospitals or education or all the other things, all trying to make sure that their priorities are taken care of first, unfortunately, Indian people are way down the line.
Well, let's talk about gaming for a moment. That's an issue that, rightly or wrongly, is highly visible nationally. Has the economic downturn had an impact on tribal nations that rely on gaming revenues? Certainly Las Vegas has taken an enormous hit. I'm wondering if that's the case for Native American people.
Yes, it is. In fact, in my retirement now, one of the things I'm doing is representing the National Indian Gaming Association in Congress. since 1988, since we passed the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act, it's had huge growth. In fact, some years Indian gaming grew by 15% per year. Last year it only grew by 2% per year, but if you look at that compared with Las Vegas and Atlantic City, Reno, other gaming areas, the growth is still in the Indian gaming sector. It's just it's growing at a much smaller rate.
You know, here's maybe a more personal question. You're a former senator from Colorado, and now you're lobbying for the gaming industry for the tribes. Mm-hmm. Is all this sort of maligning talk from McCain and Obama about lobbyists, is that going to affect your access to the
I don't think so. In fact, the matter is many people that were lobbyists were working on the McCain campaign, and more than a few were also working on the Obama campaign. And in fact, some of the people that are being appointed right now in the administration have a background of lobbying. The fact is, everybody in this country, everybody, teachers, farmers, doctors, you name it, everybody has a voice in Congress, and the name of that voice is a lobbyist.
Definitely worth remembering. You want to do a memo to Barack Obama, any sort of policy advisor you would put forth to represent Indian Affairs on his staff?
Not in name, but I would hope that when he does put forth a policy advisor, it's more than just window dressing and photo ops. That's been the past many, many presidential candidates have promised to do something along that line, and it turned out to be very, very hollow in effect. So if he does appoint somebody as a policy advisor, I hope it's really going to be somebody that's going to have a seat at the table as he has promised.
Sharp advice from Senator Campbell. Thank you. Ben Nighthorse Campbell was the first American Indian chairman of the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs. He joined us for America's Briefing Book from his home in Denver.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.